I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So, Stewardship Sunday, first and foremost, it's an opportunity to say thank you. Thank you for who you are, first of all, and also thank you for your generous commitment and acts of service in this place. Thank you to each member of our church family, both those present this morning, those not here, for all that you give to the Lord's work in this place, through the offering of your time and your talents and your treasure as well. Our reading from Genesis chapter 17 and also Romans chapter 4, I think, invite us to celebrate that we all have a significant part to play in what God is doing in this place. The call of Abraham turns out that God's good purposes are to be worked out through him at the ripe age of 99. I think we're all probably slightly less than that in this room. So none of us are off the hook. God has purposes for each one of us. You may have seen in the news that Billy Graham, a famous preacher and evangelist, died this week, also aged 99. And the obituary that I read recalled how he started from very humble, unpromising beginnings. His ministry was scorned, his preaching often controversial. How he lived to be one of the most respected and influential men of his age. It's estimated that some 3 million people came forward at his rallies. He would invite people to get out of their seats and to come forward as an expression of their faith. There may well be somebody here this morning for whom that was a really significant time. Back in 1954, those of us who were here then, that was before my time, was his most famous series of missions in this country, Haringey. But he also came numerous other times. I remember the mission to London. He became an advisor to numerous US presidents, receiving many honours, including America's highest civilian award, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And I loved his speech of response back in 2001 when the Queen bestowed upon Billy Graham an honorary knighthood. And in his speech, thanking her, he said, "I look forward to the day when I can see Jesus face to face and lay before his feet any honour I've received, because he deserves it all." And that's really what Stewardship Sunday, I think, is about for us. We recognise that all that we have, all that we've been able to achieve in life, is God's gift. We've received everything as a gift. According to the book of Genesis, Abraham was 99 when he was called to start serving God's purposes. Perhaps it's not surprising that his wife Sarah laughed at the very idea. She was sceptical. How could God possibly use him, an old duffer like him, and me? And maybe some of us would find reasons to be equally sceptical. How could God use me at my stage of life or what I've done in life? Surely I'm not worthy. But in our reading from Romans chapter 4, St. Paul describes Abraham's faith-filled, amazing, positive response. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he'd promised. If God had promised it, then God could look after the details. I've been writing my reports on 2017 this week for our church AGM, which is coming up. And looking back, recalling our Thanks a Million campaign here at St. Mary's, where we set ourselves a huge target between Easter and Pentecost, 50 days, to raise £50,000 from our own giving towards the renewal of this building and of our church centre. And I'm so grateful to God again and again for this wonderful church family, for all your faithful generosity in God's service. And as you'll recall, we raised £103,000 within those 50 days and more since then, through the generosity of God's people responding to God's generosity to us. Today on Stewardship Sunday, I need to single that we also, that was for a particular project with our buildings, we also do face a big challenge in our general finances. partly because our bills have gone up in what we contribute to the wider church, both in the diocese and actually in the wider Church of England, and also within our team parish. But also, partly, we didn't feel it was right to have a normal stewardship renewal whilst we were raising money for the building as well. So it's actually 2.5 years since we had this Stewardship Sunday, where we give you the state of the nation and present before you opportunities to respond. And I'm very grateful to Linda Emery, who's going to come and tell us what the position is at the moment. Also, I'm extremely grateful to Keith Burgess, our treasurer, and all those who help with the finances in our church family, and also to Ali in the office and all the wonderful volunteers putting together the packs of material, which was a really major job, but they did it on time, so way to go, folks. But over to Linda to tell us what's in the packs and what the actual position is.
Thank you, Guy. Well, I don't know about the rest of you, but it doesn't feel like it was 2.5 years since the last stewardship to me. But anyway, it clearly was. So it falls to me to share with you some more detail about our financial position. As Guy's already said, the key message, unfortunately, is that we face a deficit, that our projected income from the church for the next year is at roughly £40,000 less than our projected income, or about £800 a week. We can make up the difference in the short term by income from the church centre, but that's not a sustainable forward-looking position. And it means that we don't have any funds for further mission work or developments in other areas. So clearly that's not a position we want to be in. So we do need to try to find ways to increase our income to match our outgoings. We currently have, the vast majority of our income comes from the wonderful gifts that all of you and other members of our congregation make each week and month. We currently have 193 people or couples or families who are part of the regular giving scheme, stewardship scheme, and that's just wonderful. If you are a regular member, if you consider yourself to be a member of this church family and you're not part of our regular giving scheme, we would really urge you to pray about whether you could join. And that just means that you commit to giving a regular amount each week or each month, which, as you can imagine, is invaluable to the treasurer and the team to know then what our income will be. So please do consider that. If you are a member of our stewardship scheme already, it's not going to surprise you to hear at this point that I need to ask you whether you can increase your giving. And we are asking everybody who's a member of the scheme to prayerfully consider how much they can increase by. We really need people to increase by between 13 to 15% in order to meet our outgoings. Now, I know that's a big ask and it won't be possible for everyone, but please pray about whether it's possible for you or how much you can increase your donations by, please. In addition to our financial giving, many people give a huge amount in terms of time and energy and gifts to this church with all the different jobs that so many people do. And at stewardship time, it's an opportunity for us to ask people to reconsider how they give their time to the church. We don't want jobs to be a burden to people, so that's why there's the opportunity to stand down from things. There may be things that you've been doing for the last 2 years or even much longer in some cases that you feel now it's time to stop doing that. But we hope there'll also be other things that you think, yes, actually now I could perhaps turn my attention to something different. So there's a lot of information in the packs about the jobs where we need help in the church and an opportunity to pledge support for taking up different jobs as well. So we do have a pack of information for everyone here. If you are on our electoral roll, then there's a pack that's addressed to you individually. Please do pick it up before you leave the church this morning. In order to find your pack, if your surname begins with the letters A to F, then your pack will be on the table behind here to my left. If your surname begins with the letters G to O, then your pack will be on the table there in front of the model of the church, over towards the back of the church on my left. And if your surname begins with the letters N to Z, then your pack will be in the far right-hand corner at the back. If you're not on the electoral roll, you do not escape empty-handed. I will be standing by the font at the end of the service with a pack to give you, or you can get one from a sidesman as you exit the church. So please, everybody, do leave with a pack in hand. And then just finally, as you'll see in your pew sheet, there is also information in these packs about a task which we all need to complete, which relates to data privacy. So there is a new law coming into effect in May this year around data privacy. And it's absolutely essential that everyone for whom we hold information, for whom the church holds information, gives their consent to that information being held and used, you know, in order to contact you, for example. So I have to be honest, it's not the most exciting read in the world. The important thing is to read as much as you want to, but the important thing is to, if you think it's appropriate, to give your consent for us for your data to be held and to be used so that we can continue to communicate with you. So please do not overlook that data privacy form as well. So thank you very much, and please don't forget to pick up your packs before you go.
Linda, thank you so much for that. So some of us will be able to give more than 30%, some will be able to give less, and that's also true in terms of time. Some will be able to give lots of time, others won't. The two response leaflets for the one for finance is buff coloured, the one for gifts is blue coloured. There is more paperwork in the packs than I had hoped there would be because of the data protection stuff. There's also an electoral roll form in there if you haven't filled that out as well. The data protection form in particular is really scary. You just need to sign the back bit, and then it's done. It's okay. But it has got lots of legalese in it explaining why it is necessary. Some of you will be fascinated by that. But this is an opportunity, as I said at the beginning, mainly Stewardship Sunday is an opportunity to say thank you. Writing my reports on the last year, I've just had to keep redrafting it again and again, because I keep remembering, oh gosh, I need to thank that person as well, and that person, and oh gosh, and I can't leave them out. And it is an impossible task when you look around and think, gosh, we're so grateful to so many people's faithful giving of time and talents, as well as of finance, to help our church family function. So we're very aware that where there are jobs which need to be filled, the attitude "you can always ask so-and-so, they never say no," is not right or fair. I was at a meeting during the week at St. Mary's Billingshurst where they were describing their particular challenges, and they said the main challenge we have is finding volunteers to help the overworked core. And I think that's probably true of many, many churches. Certainly it's true of St. Mary's Horsham. Today is an invitation for us all to pray, to reconsider and refresh the roles which we undertake. Stewardship is sometimes called TRIO, which stands for "the responsibility is ours." Ideally, every one of us using the gifts that God has given us in an area that we care passionately about. And what that looks like will vary hugely for us, not least in our availability for roles within the church family. For many of us, we lay down our time and our talents through our jobs or in serving our family, in our work in the wider community. But for those who are free and able to get involved in helping within the church family, there are some snapshots of the roles that we need more hands on deck for in the packs. For example, altar servers. So these guys wearing white robes at the front, we will give you training to be able to do that. As I say, you're supposed to sign up for 2 years at a time. The idea is you try it for a couple of years and then you could try something else later. Some of the altar servers have been doing it for rather longer than 2 years. At the 8 o'clock service earlier, Richard had been doing it for 62 years. So you have to be slightly careful that you do feel that you can lay things down. But we're very grateful to those who faithfully continue to serve God in the ministry that they're called to in this place. Safeguarding roles, Joyce Brown and Caroline Crook have both done a marvellous job of making sure that all our volunteers, we have over 100 volunteers working with children and young people in the life of our church, making sure that they're all safeguard trained and so on. Both Joyce and Caroline have come to the time where they're ready to lay down that role. If that's something that you could help with, being part of the safeguarding admin team, again, there would be training which would be provided, but it would be marvellous to be able to enable that to continue. Baptism visitors, there aren't very many of those on the ground now, those who go and do the first visit to families who are inquiring about having their children baptised, a great opportunity to share faith, but also share something about St Mary's Church and what it has to offer young families. Work with our children and with our young people. Fiona and Matt could tell you more about ways of getting involved there. There's lots and lots of ways, and it's all described in the pack there. But as we reflect on the faith of Abraham, I'm actually going to preach about Abraham's faith this evening. And I'm quite excited about the sermon for this evening, so you have to come for that. So just very briefly this morning, I believe that God's call and gifting does have valuable roles for all of us, whatever age we are, however unlikely we may think it sounds. He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he'd promised. In closing, Abraham's example inspires for me a vision of St Mary's to be a church of faith, of hope, and of love. A church of faith. I once heard someone say every church has two lift shafts in it. One lift's going up and one's going down. The one that's going down is people who pour cold water on schemes. Oh, we tried that once. It'll never work. And the people in the lift going up are the people who have hope. Sarah laughed at the possibility. Abraham had faith. Let's choose the lift that's going. Let's be famous as a church of faith, a church which takes on bold possibilities for God. A church of faith. I believe that's what our Thanks a Million project is all about. A church of hope. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. You know, people perish when for them their past is bigger than their future. And that may be for us the church's past. We might be nostalgic for the halcyon days when we were in the youth group, or when the nave was full at matins or evensong, or whatever it might be. Or it could be our own personal past, when I was starting my career with the world at my feet, or rose-tinted memories of when the children were small, that wonderful era. It's possible for us to live in the past, but I dream of St Mary's as a church where the future, rather than being something we're afraid of, is something we strain and long for. Henceforth is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, says St. Paul. I look forward to the day when I can see Jesus face to face and lay before his feet any honour I've received, because he deserves it all, says Billy Graham. Church of faith, a church of hope, and finally I dream of St. Mary's to be famous as a church of love. There is nothing like the local church when the local church is working right. That's when new people just bring new people. Church growth happens because people have found faith, hope, and love in this community. And I believe we're beginning to see that happen here at St. Mary's. I rejoice and I just pray more, Lord, more faith, more hope, more love. And begin with me, but begin with all of us. My daughter Bethany passed me a quote which I found very inspiring. It reads as follows: we do not become culturally relevant when we become like the culture. We become culturally relevant when we model what the culture hungers to become. I believe that is profoundly true, and I pray that it would be profoundly true for St. Mary's Horsham. Brothers and sisters, these three things abide: faith, hope, and love. To make them visible and to grow them in this place, the responsibility is ours. The exciting and the challenging responsibility is ours together. Let's pray about our own response. Let's pray. St. Paul writes to the people of Philippi, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. This morning, for all that God has given us, for the many ways he has blessed us, let us give great thanks. And for all that shall be, let us offer ourselves with faith and hope and love as we press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of us. In his name and for his glory's sake. Amen.